host to co-host, entrepreneurs on the move, getting out of the house, EOTM Radio, we're hiring from coast to coast. Entrepreneurs on the move, giving you the most.
Net Station is the hottest, playing the best independent artists, and looking for more, so tune in and tell a friend about the hottest station on internet land.
Sit back and listen to EOTM on a mission. Classic City Records, ain't no competition. Pay attention to the grind, we're in it, the vision. Entrepreneurs on the move, success is given.
EOTM Radio, we're heard from coast to coast. Entrepreneurs on the move, giving you the most. EOTM Radio, we're heard from coast to coast. Entrepreneurs on the move, giving you the most.
EOTM, that's the people station. Hottest station in the nation, no underestimating. Stop procrastinating and gon' hit them up. Giving you bang for your buck, get your numbers up.
Come on.
Stop sitting around whining, crying about making it, but ain't trying.
Classic
City Records, we tiring. Go to EOTM and start climbing.
EOTM Radio, giving you the most. EOTM Radio, giving you the most.
Show here on EOTM Radio. Tonight marks our third season. I definitely have to thank you all for joining us tonight. We have a full show lineup for you. We are honored to have celebrities, strategists, radio and television personality, producer, and legendary Deanna Williams. As always, we want you to be part of the discussion and call with your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. You can also join us in chat. There's a link on our Facebook page. But first, Ms. Parker, Happy New Year. How was yours?
Happy New Year. It was great. Great holiday season.
Yeah. What all did you do? I know you did some traveling, and you. What did you do to bring in the new year and whatnot?
Yeah, I went home to see my family. Was in Vegas and L.A. for a few days, about 10 days. And
okay.
Came back and went to the house party for New Year's. So it was good.
That's good, yeah. I went home to Virginia to be with my family, and I spent New Year's at home. I wasn't in the mood to really do anything big, so I just kind of chilled out with, you know, one of my homeboys, and we just had some drinks, watched the countdown, and you know, went to the gym.
Hey,
the next
no
day.
DUI, so that's all
right,
that matters.
Right, no DUI. That's the biggest thing. Cause they were plotting in Georgia. They were plotting in Georgia
yeah.
this year about. So
they
yeah.
were out.
Well, welcome back, Chike Adam. What's going on? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy
New
Year,
guys.
Happy New Year, Ms. Parker.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah, I'm better. That's how I spent my New Year's, in the bed, sick.
Oh,
you had what I had last year.
Glad to hear you're better, though.
Yeah, a lot better. Thank you.
So you look like you had what I had last year. Last year, I spent my New Year's in the bed with the flu.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. It was started coming on like around 10 o'clock. In my head, I had big plans, and next thing I know, I was like, I need to sit down for a second.
Right. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, how's it going?
Happy New Year.
Oh, thanks. Same to you. I forgot to adjust my clock.
Happy New Year, Adam.
Thanks, guys. How are you guys doing?
All right,
really
brother.
Good. Everybody's doing good. So our third season on Steve and Knight Show. I know that y'all covered a lot of movies, I'm sure, over the holiday seasons. What are some of the ones that stood out for you?
I saw Django, The Impossible, This Is 40, and Parental Guidance.
Okay.
All right.
I saw Django also, and then I saw Les Mis, The Rob, and Hobbit.
Okay.
So I guess I'll start us off here. I saw The Hobbit just yesterday, actually. That was a pretty good one. You know, it's kind of a prelude to the Lord of the Rings series, so it's a fantasy adventure about these dwarves that are going to take back their home that was taken from them by a dragon. They live in the mountains. So basically you have all these dwarves, you have a hobbit, and you have a wizard, and it's their adventure. If you know the Lord of the Rings story, you'll know a lot of the characters that come back for this. It's a good adventure movie. It is close to 3 hours long, so if you're going to watch it, be prepared, you know, maybe go to the bathroom beforehand or something like that. But, if you like the world, you like the fantasy stuff, then you'll definitely like The Hobbit for that.
Okay.
And then going into the next one, Les Miserables is a musical, and its story's been around forever, you know, Victor Hugo, who did Hunchback of Notre Dame, this Les Miserables is one of his kind of masterpieces, or is his masterpiece, and it's based on the musical, so it's not quite the same story in the novel, but you're getting the story of this hero, in a sense, Jean Valjean, who was a prisoner that served his term, and he's on the run from breaking the parole, so there's this inspector, kind of this police officer that's always been hunting him down. And the story spans over many years, many characters, you know, in the time after the French Revolution. So if you're a big musical fan, you'll definitely enjoy this.
I took my cousin,
you know,
my nephew to see that movie, and we loved it.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it's another one of those long
ones. It was long.
I guess.
Yeah.
Wintertime is the time for almost 3 hour movies because,
yeah,
this is another long one. Great performances, I think, by everyone. I don't know too much about musical stuff, so I didn't, you know, none of this thing detracted from my watching, so it was fine for me. There's also humor in it, too, so, you know, you're going to enjoy a little bit of aspects of everything. Anne Hathaway did great, Hugh Jackman did great. A great one to see. Not too much violence or anything like that. It is a sad movie. I mean, it's called The Miserable for a reason, so just prepared for that. And then my final review was Django, the new Quentin Tarantino movie, and I enjoyed that one a lot, too. Again, another one that's running close to 3 hours, something they probably could have cut about 20 minutes out of. But Django follows the story of this bounty hunter who frees Jamie Foxx, or actually buys Jamie Foxx at the beginning of the movie, and they go on kind of their story of how Jamie Foxx's character, whose name is Django, is trying to free his wife from this plantation owner, Leonardo DiCaprio. So a lot of action, a lot of comedy, you know, the pacing was fine. Quentin Tarantino did a good job, I thought. What did you think, CK?
I thought he did an excellent job. It's pretty gory, too. It has a lot of blood in it, just in case, letting you know before you go see it. Tarantino did an excellent job. One of the things that I love that Quentin pays homage to is his childhood legends. And anytime that he makes a movie, he always makes movies in mind of the people where he learned his craft from. And he always pays homage back to yesterday when he was a youngster going to movies. So you always catch a little glimpse of yesteryear in all of his movies. And you can tell what he was inspired by. So this was supposed to be somewhat of a spaghetti western, and he kind of took concepts from spaghetti western and incorporated them into the movie, which I thought was excellent. I love that fact about him.
Let me ask a question because I know it got a lot of – there are some criticisms, some not, because they used the N-word a lot. What were your takes on that? Was it used, overused? Was it appropriate? What do you think?
Me personally, I thought that the overuse of it, because they did use it a lot.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say overuse. I'll say the way that he used it, I thought it was funny. It made me laugh.
Okay.
Just because it was so absurd. But if we were really in that time period, they probably would use the word like they use it in the movie.
Yeah.
And
that's just real.
Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't.
I mean, it wasn't.
I wasn't.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I wasn't thrown off. Right? I didn't think, oh, this is too excessive or anything like that. I mean, you know the time period. So, you know, you go into the movie knowing that's like watching a Quentin Tarantino movie and saying it's too gory. You kind of know that going into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't, it didn't throw me off. It didn't detract from the movie at all. You know, it definitely just kind of blended in well. It did get a little extreme when Samuel L. Jackson's character was using it a lot, and then you're just like, okay, well, this is now it's a Quentin Tarantino movie because it became a little, you know, cliche, I guess, in that sense. But yeah, overall, I didn't think it detracted from the movie.
Okay.
And I also too like the way that he tackled the racism within the race. He tackled that very, very well, which a lot of people didn't really tackle in some of the other movies that I've seen about slavery. Not the way that he touched on it, and the betrayal between, you know, African American people.
Oh yeah, and I mean that
was very good
during the South too. Yeah, during that time.
So anything else that you all saw?
Yeah, I saw Parental Guidance, which was Billy Crystal and Bette Midler. They did an excellent job. That was a family-friendly movie, so I took Thing 1 and Thing 2. They loved it. Billy Crystal and Bette Midler never disappoint. It was an excellent, excellent movie. I would definitely recommend that one. This is 40. This is from the same filmmaker, Judd Apatow, that brought Knocked Up, Zack and Miri Make a Porno. So it's all from the same house. This is actually supposed to be the prequel the not so much sequel to Knocked Up. It's the same married couple that was in Knocked Up, but it's focusing on their family, and they pretty much are talking about how did they get to this point in their marriage. And, you know, remembering back from how they met, pretty much, you know, being pregnant and gotten married, you know, for the duty of marriage and, you know, raising a kid, to now being 40 and facing responsibilities and mortgages and being married so long. It's a very good look at life and middle age. And I thought that they attacked it very, very, very well. Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann are excellent together. Their acting together was superb. And Leslie Mann is Judd Apatow's wife in real life, and their two kids in real life were actually playing the kids in the movie. So I thought that was cool too. So they needed a family affair. The Impossible was the story of the tsunami and a family's journey through that catastrophe. They actually were vacationing and they were separated with the tsunami and the journey of them finding each other again. I'm not even going to lie, I cried. Probably about half the movie I cried. I was in there crying. Mm. So if you want the drama, you want a tearjerker, it's very moving and it's very inspirational too. pulls at your heartstrings, and it gives you a feeling of hope. And it was very good for the holiday season. It was so fitting because a lot of times we get caught up in the whole, you know, commercial part of the holiday, but this movie took you right back to, you know, home and hearth and the real purpose of family and love and, you know, being together. So I highly recommend that one.
That sounds what's up. Anything coming up that you guys are anticipating?
I'm looking at Gangsta Squad, the Wayans' new attempt, A Haunted House.
Yeah, it's actually just Marlins, too. Marlins.
Yeah, it's Marlins.
It's almost like a solo project, but it looks pretty funny.
Yeah, I noticed that Marlon's trying to do more stuff on his own. He's trying to step out on his own. And even with this whole jumping from the movies for a minute to television, you know they're going to redo In Living Color. And it's supposed to be the younger generation of the Wayans. They're taking it over.
So it's like
the children of the Wayans. They're actually going to do that production.
Damon Wayans Jr., you know, Damon Wayans' son, is in that one movie, or that TV show, Happy Endings. I don't know if you've seen
that. Right.
Exactly. But he looks just like his dad. It's crazy.
Yep. Hansel and Gretel is coming out. Movie 43, which is like another installment of Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve. It has like everybody in the world in it. And Common has a movie coming out called Love. It's going to be an independent release, but that looks like it's going to be very powerful and poignant.
Let me ask you, since you guys are the movie guys, this time of year, do the movies pick up, or what's the time of year where usually they have a lot of great movies coming out?
The season that we just passed, because people want to have their movies in for Academy consideration. It's almost like when music gets released at a certain time because they want Grammy consideration.
Yeah.
You have movies that come out at a certain time because they want Academy consideration. So
you have those
movies that came out during this time, like from the fall to the holiday season, and what is it up to, Adam? Like up to January?
Yeah, late January they'll try to sneak a few in, and maybe even a couple in the early February. But yeah, all the Oscar contenders are. You know, started in the fall and are moving up to this time period.
Okay.
Les Miserables and Impossible. Look for them Oscar season.
They'll be the ones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, guys, as always, we thank you. Thank you so much. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you again next week, okay? Next week we're getting fit for the New Year, so make sure you tune in for those, okay?
All right.
All right, y'all have a good one. This part is thinking of being fit. I know that you're on Operation Summer Fine. Is that what you said you're doing this right now?
Operation Get Summer Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my body hurts too.
What, from
and I'm
getting
hungry.
It at the gym?
Huh?
From getting it at the gym?
Yeah, I mean, you know, getting back in the routine after 2 weeks and doing legs and squats and everything hurts.
Yeah.
And I'm hungry.
Right. I just posted on Facebook. I was watching the game, the Notre Dame game, while I was waiting for the show to start. And I said, I see people on Facebook posting wings and chips and fries. I wish. I'm eating my carrots over here.
Well, the only good thing I can say about that is I don't have any of that at home. So.
Yeah, I don't either. And that's the key. Don't have it at the house because I will eat it if I'm home.
I'm starving right now.
I bet you are. Hey, Ron, I know you're watching the game. What's going on with you? Happy New Year.
Yo, happy New Year, Ms. Parker, Mr.
Happy
Knight, GK, Adam, Janera, everybody.
Before you get started, Ron, I want to congratulate you on making the Dean's List last semester. That's a big thing.
Yeah, congratulations. I saw that on Facebook as well. Good job.
Thank you. Thank y'all very much. Appreciate it. Working hard. I just wanted to mention really quick about Django. Can I just for a second? Because I actually saw it and I thought it was excellent. I just wanted to highlight on the fact that I thought that Quentin Tarantino I like the fact that he showed slaves that they were educated, that they had class, that they had culture, I thought Kerry Washington's character, Knowing German, which people probably don't even realize that, yeah, some slaves were actually educated. Not all were, but some were, many were. And I think that a lot of times people don't think of slaves as, you know, being cultured and having class and being highly educated.
Right.
I also love the fact that a lot of the male slaves weren't, you know, shucking and jobbing and, you know, and being, you know, quote unquote ignorant. You know, they might not have much education, but they weren't looked. I didn't see them as like being like clowns. They had class. Like, to me, he showed that a lot of the Southern whites were ignorant and couldn't barely talk and were uneducated. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you for giving that side of slavery.
Yeah,
exactly. And also showing that slaves actually were married. You know, thank you for, you know, showing that, because a lot of times, again, people don't think of, but back then, as slaves actually, you know, being married, you know,
right,
loving each other, you know, and fighting for each other. So, hey, appreciate it, Quentin. Good job, really good job. Oh,
so I know you're watching
the
game right now. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. No. The game, man, it's over, man.
Are they there? Did they show up to play?
I don't think so, man. I think they're just, it's 2012 still for them. I don't know. I think they're just scratching their heads. Like, we actually are in the championship game, man. Like, we actually made it. Now we got play in it too. Oh, man.
You think they can come back in the second half?
Nah. That's a wrap. Alabama won it too much. Oh yeah. But speaking of football, man, did you watch the Redskins game yesterday, Seahawks?
I didn't, but I read a lot about it on Facebook and Twitter. People going in.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Man, I'm gonna play Monday night quarterback. All right. After we got up 14-0, and I see my franchise rookie quarterback is hobbling. He's out the game, especially if I got a quality backup. If I got a quality backup quarterback, come on. Pick Cousins in, you know. Put him in. I think that was just bad coaching. I don't care if my player says, no, coach, I'm good, put me in. Nah, you're the head coach. You run the team.
Right.
You make the decisions. You know, he's not the head coach. You are. You tell him, no, sit your butt down. It's a wrap. You know, we got a good backup. Let's try to win this game. I mean, seeing him out there struggling and his knee, you know, knee bobbling or buckling, I should say, I'm sorry. It was, I felt bad for him. I felt really, really bad for him. You know,
that's what everybody was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, what if this dude's knee ends up, you know, being something permanent, you know, something wrong with him permanently, all because, you know, you think that you can win a game. So yeah, I thought that was bad. But hey, Falcons get to play the Seahawks next week, so I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be really good game. Really, really good game. Oh, those Dirty Birds.
Which
Dirty Birds? I don't know. Cause the Hawks are Seahawks are birds too. So I just say that those. No, I actually got the Falcons winning. Falcons gotta win. If they don't win. Man, if they do not win this game, they better win. That's all I'm gonna say. Better win, definitely. Did you all hear about the drama with the Lakers with Kobe and Dwight Howard?
I heard about that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Kobe's calling out Dwight for being soft, and Dwight wanted to swing at Kobe, and it's just a mess. It's a bad situation with the Lakers.
You
on mute. He's always calling somebody out. He couldn't wait to get him on the team, and he was Lakers fan, was hooping and hollering, oh, we getting Dwight. It's on, and what happened?
Well,
every time you're on the losing streak, he always got to find somebody to blame it on. He needs to just chill out.
And my thing is, what happens to when there's something going on with the team? That's something that's in the team. You don't put that out, you know, for the world or for the press. You know what I mean? That's something that y'all deal with.
For Kobe's credit, though, he didn't put it out there. There were people because it was at the practice. And I think that, you know, there were other people at the practice and, you know, people have phones and Twitter and tweeting everything. So, you know, Kobe did not go, you know, and like blast this, whatever. I don't think he initially blasted or anything. I could be wrong, but I don't think he was the one to actually put it out there at first. But it is what it is. It's out there. And people that are on the outside looking in, you can kind of tell just by how they're playing right now that there's something going on. Something's not right. Something's not clicking. And it's more than just basketball. It's something personal that's going on with these guys. I mean, on paper, these guys should be just, you know, really one of the top, honestly, one of the top two teams in the league. It should be them and Miami, or Miami and them, the Heat Lakers. And it's just not working. And so Kobe's frustrated. Dwight's frustrated. You know.
I'm so sick of the excuses. They're just losing, okay? That's all that matters.
They are. Losing. Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, no. Ms. Parker, you're right. They are losing. I think it was bad to get their coach. D'Antoni is not a good coach. If he was a good coach, then he would be still with the Knicks. He's not a good coach, or with the Phoenix Suns. He's not a good coach, especially when it comes to defense. His teams have never been good defensively. They're just not that good. And Steve Nash, I give him credit, but at the same time, dude is 38 years old. I mean, he's not good on the defensive end. He's not.
Right.
And these little young point guard, I mean, come on. Oh, Chris Paul will run circles around Steve Nash every day, every night, weekends, holidays, 4th of July, you know, every day. So
right.
I just think that, like, the Lakers need to kind of clean house. I would have gotten Phil Jackson as the head coach, but, you know, it is what it is. I actually, really quick, y'all, I don't think that the Lakers have a lot of respect for D'Antoni, whatever his name is. The coach. They don't have much respect for him. So, it's just a mess. Go Clippers. The Clippers are the best ball team in L.A. Who would have thought that they would be the best basketball team in Los Angeles? Who would have thought? That's the latest, man. Also, wanted to shout out to the Ravens. They beat the Colts. You know, this is Ray Lewis's last season. So after this win or lose, he is retiring, and he's going to, you know, focus more on his family and everything. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's a good thing. So after 17 years, you know, Ray, to me, is a class act. You know, he had his little issues back in the day, but all of us have, you know, had, you know, things that we had to overcome in our past, and Ray has done that and then some. And I wish him all the best in his retirement and in his, you know, last you know, a few weeks of the season, whether it's Super Bowl bound or not. So go Ravens, and congrats to Ray Lewis. And that's it. And yo, you can follow me on Facebook, Aaron Cosby, Twitter, Aaron Cosby, Instagram, Aaron Cosby. And again, I'm out. Happy third season, you guys. It's gonna be fun, and I'll talk to y'all next week.
All right, everyone, have a good week, okay?
Y'all too. Thank you.
All right. Ms. Ferguson, Happy New Year. What you got for us? Janae, are you on?
I'm here. You just don't know how to work this phone. Sorry.
Happy New Year. How you
Happy
doing?
New Year. Happy New Year.
What do you have for it?
I have a couple things for you guys. For everyone, as a matter of fact. And I know you're going to be happy speaking because it's for everyone.
Yes.
So, okay, I'll go ahead and get started because it's a lot. I mean, it's a whole lot. So I just want to go ahead and warn you guys about that. But I'm so excited because, you know, I love finding sales for everyone. So Bloomingdale's is having a clearinghouse sale. And I'm sorry, they're clearing house and they're getting ready for the spring. They are having a shoe sale today only, so you have to shop online if you're still interested in shopping. If you didn't check out my website earlier today. If you shop now, you can get an extra 15% off of already reduced items for a total savings of 35 to 70% off of the original price. So that's pretty good because, you know, Bloomingdale's can have some really pricey items. They can also have some, you know, some reasonably priced items, but I'm hoping that the pricey items are more along the lines of 70% off. But, you know, that's just wishful thinking. Jones New York is having their semi-annual sale. And if you shop now through the 15th, you can take 50% off of already reduced prices for savings of up to 80% off. Nine West is while supplies last. You can, if you shop now, you can get 60% off, or up to 60% off of their sale items. And if you go onto the site, all you have to do is just go to the very top, and it'll have up to 60% off sale at the very top. So you just click on that link, and it'll take you right on over to the sale shoes. J. Crew, now through the 20th, you can shop and get an extra 30% off of final sale items. And, you know, J. Crew can, you know, I think they get kind of crazy with some of their stuff sometimes, but the final sale items are usually reasonably priced because this is like the end of the road for those things, which is not necessarily bad for fashion, but, you know, it's great for your wallet. So Express is also having a great sale. If you shop now, you can buy one, get one 50% off of all of their tees, plus you can take an additional 30% off of already reduced clearance items for savings of up to 70%. So, you know, Express does sales every now and again, but usually at the beginning of the year, which is, you know, towards the end of the winter when they're trying to introduce the spring items, they usually discount everything. And if you go shop in stores, they'll have everything in these boxes. And, you know, you can just go crazy in the boxes. And, of course, they have some clearance items hanging as well, but a lot of those are things that, you know, you'll be interested in that will be very, very well-priced would be in the boxes. And they'll be labeled by size. So I love shopping in those boxes. I mean, it's just like the highlight of my shopping day at Express sometimes. Macy's is having a fashion clearance. And this is for men and women. And also, I'm sorry, the Express and J. Crew sales are for men and women as well. And the Bloomingdale sales. And this Macy's sale is also for men and women. They're having a fashion clearance sale. And if you shop now, you can save up 50 to 70% off of your purchase. So, you know, how Macy's puts everything along the rack in these little corners, you know, of the store. Now they'll have their regular price items, and then they'll have their clearance items. Of course, I always head to the clearance rack. So that's where I'll probably be going this weekend. if you shop the Limited, this is a women's only sale. If you shop the Limited, you can buy one, get one 50% off of all tops and sweaters. And they also have clearance items starting at just $6.99. So that's just under $7. And this is also a great sale for me because I love it when the Limited does this. And now, also I want to remind you ladies who actually shop during their virtual dollars event, now's the time to redeem them. So I'm not sure if you guys remember, but a little while ago I was telling you about the virtual dollars event. It's Limited, and basically for every $50 you shop, you got $25 in virtual dollars. So now you can go and redeem those virtual dollars. So basically it's just like $25 in your hand. So just go on over to the Limited. If you do have virtual cash, just go on over to the Limited and redeem them. They have lots of stuff on sale right now. BCBG Max Adria Factory Outlet is having a winter blowout sale. Shop now and enjoy an extra 50% off of all of their winter styles. Now, I'm not sure if everybody knows this. I always talk about BCBG, which can be very, very pricey. The outlet, I usually find my best deals at the outlet, and not only are they giving us the outlet prices, but they're also tacking on an extra 50% off of the outlet price. So if you're near an outlet, I'm not sure how long they're going to be having the sale for, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be through the weekend. So if you want to hurry on down to the outlet as soon as you possibly can, they're giving an extra 50% off of their winter style. BCBG store, the BCBG Max Adria store that you will actually find in the mall, not the outlet mall, but the mall. They're also having a sale. And if you shop now through the 20th, you can get up to 60% off during their winter sale. So both of them are having a winter sale. I will go to the factory outlet before I headed to the actual store. But, you know, you can get good deals at both. I'm not sure if everybody's heard of Zappos.com. I don't usually talk about Zappos.com because they don't usually have sales. Zappos.com is one of the pricier shoe outlets, and they not only sell shoes, but they also sell clothing and accessories. They have sort of like their outlet online store called 6PM. 6PM is like everything discounted thrown from Zappos. Zappos just gives it over to 6PM when they can't sell it. But actually, Zappos now is having a clearance sale. They're just trying to make room for new things. So they're having a clearance sale. You can save on tons of shoes, clothes, and accessories. The last call by Neiman Marcus. If you shop there now through the 8th, which is tomorrow, I know I'm not giving you guys much time with this one, you can get an extra 50% off, and this is for men and women, unless I specify otherwise. You can get, and I need you to listen to this carefully, you can get an extra 50% off of all coats, cashmere, women and children's sweaters, hats, gloves, scarves, and wraps. And you can take an extra 40% off of all boots, dresses, and men's sweaters. And you can take an extra 30% off of everything else in the store. So it's 50, 40, 30. And, of course, you would just have to pick through everything. And I like shopping at Last Call by Neiman Marcus because they actually have an online store. Not many outlet stores have an online store, but Neiman Marcus does. And that's why I love shopping at Neiman Marcus. So, like I said, that's an extra 50% off of all coats, cashmere, women and children's sweaters, hats, gloves, scarves, and wraps, and then an extra 40% off of all boots, dresses, and men's sweaters, and then 30% off, an extra 30% off of everything else. And, of course, because it's the outlet, it's already marked down.
So they can come up, and they can really come up there, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, they really can. That's why I love Last Call by Neiman Marcus because you're shopping, like you can get any type of design or anything. Anything
right.
You're looking for, they have it. And
right.
And then it's on sale, oh, I'll go crazy.
You can't beat it.
You really can. Like I said, I can tell you that I've gotten things from Neiman Marcus Last Call for like $20.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, people shy away from it because of Neiman Marcus, but that doesn't mean anything to me. If it's too much, I'll just put it down.
Just put
and
it back on the rack.
If it's in my price range, you know, I'm get it.
Well, listen, Ms. First, I know you got some great things, and I want to refer one to your website because we're running really behind. You know, it's the new year. Everyone's excited to be back. But they can go to budgetshopaholic.com to
right.
review August. Is that correct?
That's right. And I just have one more thing I want to tell you guys about.
Okay, go ahead.
Armani Exchange, they're also having one in sale, and you can get an extra 50% off of select styles there. So, okay, I'm done. I told you I had a lot tonight.
No, but hey, it's the new year. They spend money over the holidays. They can't wait to make some more and spend it back. So thank you as always.
I know. So help you. Okay.
Thank you. And we're going to put a link
on
our
Happy
New Year to you.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
And to review all of Janera's sales, go to our Facebook page, budgetshopaholic.com, and we'll have a link. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
Check out the EOTM Media Group. Yeah, the EOTM Media Group. We're a new media company encompassing radio, PR, and TV. Follow us on Twitter at EOTMPR. For a great publicist, there's one thing you need to do. Contact the EOTM Media Group.
Welcome back to the Steve and Knight Show. Now, Ms. Park, I know there's some stuff we have to talk about in entertainment, but I want to get to our first guest first, and we'll come back to that afterwards, okay?
All right.
Well, listen, I'm so excited because Deanna Williams' career exceeds limitation. Whether showcasing her talents in broadcasting, print journalism, and community activism, or television producing, reporting, media coaching, and lecturing, she's remained a constant force in the entertainment industry for over three decades. Currently, Williams hosts a Soulful Sunday, a weekly show that broadcasts via Radio 1, adult contemporary station, WRNB-FM, which won the Achievement in Radio Award for our Best Weekend Show in Philadelphia back in 2006. Each Sunday, 10 a.m., 3 p.m., she can be found at 100.3 on the FM dial, definitely leaving the musical history born of her adopted hometown, other classical music from Aretha Franklin to Temptations to Teddy Pendergrass, and every artist in between. Please help me welcome to the show, Miss Deanna Williams. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, Stephen. Thank you very much for having me, and let me say Happy New Year to you and to your audience, and congratulations on your new season.
Thank you. And I'm just, you know, it's just so fitting that you're our first guest because you've done this. You've been doing this and more. So I want to thank you for being on, and Happy New Year to you as well.
I was elated when I received the invitation. Thank you so much.
Oh, wow. Well, listen, I know you're originally from Harlem. And
mm-hmm.
Tell us, how did you get your start? How did you start this amazing career?
Well, I've been in broadcasting for quite some time, but I did grow up in Harlem. And as a young woman living in New York City, my radio station of choice was WWRL
mm-hmm.
and WBLS, also WABC. My father listened to The Good Guys, Cousin
okay.
Lucy and all the people there. So radio was something that just was a part of my household and most Black homes. But I heard a woman by the name of Vi Higginson. She was on
yes.
WBLS 107.5
yes.
with Frankie Crocker, and I just admired her style. And I said, So when I went to college, initially I went in as a music major to the City College of New York on 138th and Convent in Harlem, in the heart of Harlem. And I listened to Vi, but I discovered very quickly that I did not have the talent that it took to be a professional musician. So one day, somebody invited me to meet them at the radio station on our college campus, WCCR. I didn't even know we had a radio station at that point. But the second, Stephen, I walked into that radio station, it was love at first sight.
Wow.
And I just said, wow, so I can take my interest and knowledge of music and my ability to talk. I love people and I enjoy listening and talking. And soon after that, I enrolled in the class, learned the rudiments, and shortly thereafter, I took over the radio station.
You took over the radio station.
I've been doing that ever since. Yes,
oh,
I started
wow.
in New York at WCCR and then went on the air at WBAI, which is the Pacifica listener-supported radio station in New York. I did a jazz show, and from there, I just kept moving forward. I set a list of goals when I was 18, and it was a 5-year goal plan. I accomplished pretty much everything within 3 years, and the list included getting a job in radio, working in television, working in New York, the number one market in the world, really, for radio, in the States at least, falling in love and having babies. It was all done, really, within 3 years. So that's how I started, inspired by Vi Higginson, Frankie Crocker, WBLS, and my love for Black music and culture.
And, you know, you talk about Black music. I know that you were very influential in, you know, getting them the past June as being Black Music Month. Well, tell us why, you know, I think that we know, but for people out there who don't know, why is that so important? Why is that so historical that June is considered to be Black Music Month?
Well, I first must acknowledge my ex, Kenny Gamble, one of the architects of the Sound of Philadelphia, because it, in fact, was his idea to establish a month where we recognized, celebrated the accomplishments of people in the music industry, from
yeah.
the recording engineers to the educators to the artists to the managers, publicists, radio DJs, any and everyone involved in the perpetuation, preservation, promotion of Black music.
Right.
And when we consider, Stephen, the Black music industry, it is a multi-billion dollar business.
Yeah.
In other words, we don't tend to think of it that way because we sing to it, we dance to it, it makes us feel good when we're feeling sad, when we're broken up with somebody, there's a song for it. But the bottom line is that it is a business, a big business, and it's one of America's greatest exports around the world. So Kenny Gamble and Ed Wright, who has been a broadcaster, thought it was wonderful to put together a time where we celebrated the legacy and of the past, people who were doing music presently, and generations to come, hence the concept and notion of Black Music Month. What I did was, many years after Gamble had established Black Music Month, I wrote President Bill Clinton. I was doing a music conference. I was producing a conference called the I Am Celebration, which stands for the International Association of African American Music. We were doing our annual Black Music Month event in D.C. And I wrote President Bill Clinton, and I said, we're coming to D.C., we're honoring the Isley Brothers, all these people, and we'd love for you to host a reception at the White House like President Jimmy Carter did in 1979. And the White House called me back and said, we got your letter. We see where President Carter did this first Black Music Month event, but woo, he did not sign a presidential proclamation. So from our vantage point, it's, yeah, we see you're saying it's Black Music Month, but why don't you go to Congress and get them to enact legislation, and then President Clinton will do something for you. Wow. And I'm a girl from the Bronx and Harlem. I did not know what that meant, Stephen.
I put on
my best pair of flats. I went up to Capitol Hill and went from congressmen's to senators' offices, lobbying them to help enact legislation that would recognize June as Black Music Month. It took a few years, but with the assistance of Congressman Shaka Fatah of Philadelphia, we ultimately got the House of Representatives, and I also got the Senate to recognize June officially as Black Music Month. I went back to the White House. Okay, I got the legislation, and I had two private meetings in the Oval Office with Bill Clinton. And from that point on, the White House has been acknowledging June as Black Music Month with every president. In fact, George W. Bush, he had a Black Music Month event every June. And I sat every June pretty much when he was in the White House. He issued a proclamation and hosted an event that celebrated artists from different genres of Black music. And I sat with the president, and one year was very elated when he acknowledged and honored me as a woman who was a champion for Black music. That was a big thrill.
Wow.
So that's a long answer to your very short question.
But it's important. It's important because, you know, I'm someone who's pursuing music. There are a lot of people who listen that are pursuing music, been on the show pursuing music. But I think it's very important to know the history and to know the pioneers such as yourself who make it so that this music does not go without recognition. So I want to thank you and salute you for that. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much. And I would also say, when you ask why is it important, it's important that we know our history, as you just mentioned.
Yeah,
if you
absolutely.
Don't know where you come from, how can you know where you are and where you're going? It's so important, I believe, that we teach our young people the stories of these great artists and people who have fueled our souls. I mean, think of the impact that music has in your life.
Yep.
Music is with me from the moment I wake up till I close my eyes and in my dreams. Music
absolutely.
Is such an integral part of our experience. It makes us feel better. There's been scientific research that shows music improves your disposition. And in the case of Black music, I have traveled around the world. I haven't been everywhere, but I've traveled a lot. And when I went to Japan, they may not have understood a word of the song, but they got the feeling. And I've seen it in Brazil, Japan, all through the Caribbean, everywhere. Black music is revered, respected, loved, and appreciated, in my opinion.
Wow. Well, let's talk about radio because, you know, obviously you've been in the business for a while. And where are you?
40 years. I just celebrated my 40th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. That's a huge accomplishment. How has radio changed over the last 40 years for you? What have you seen to be? Obviously, there's internet radio now.
Oh,
what other changes have you seen?
Well, how about the internet, Stephen? Period.
Yeah.
Internet radio. How about just
Absolutely.
An internet? When I started, there was no internet. I started in 1972 in radio. And so when I started, you could still do your own music. You could still program your own show. In fact, when I first started, that's how it was. My first professional job was at 96.3 WHUR in the nation's capital, and it's known best as the original Quiet Storm station. as established by Kathy Hughes, who is the founder of Radio One.
Mm-hmm.
She was the general manager, and she established the concept of a Quiet Storm. So that was the first station that I started at after WBAI, my college radio station.
Okay.
And so when I started, we programmed our own music, 4 or 5 hours of you picking all the songs, taking requests, and playing what people wanted to.
Wow.
That was, yeah, you had to have a license. You had to have an FCC license with a third-class broadcast endorsement that is no longer required. You had to take a test that involved math as well, and that was rough for me because I'm not the math girl. So
what?
Those were beginnings. And also in the 70s when I first started, it was post the Civil Rights era. And it was a time where, you know, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud.
Mm-hmm.
Black radio was about mobilizing people to improve the quality of their lives on the regular. We had songs like Give the People What They Want, To Be Young,
Gifted,
right, and Black. And we very proudly, myself and other radio personalities, we were the clarion in the community. We were very, very, and it's different now. I think the emphasis tends to be more on bottom line, ratings.
Right.
Exactly. Arbitron, Nielsen Arbitron, all of that, and,
yeah,
and research more than feeling and vibe. And when I first started in radio, there were not syndicated broadcasts as you have now. Tom Joyner, my dear friend, however, when he came on the air, it displaced at least 100 DJs in markets around the country. So syndication was not a big factor as it is now. With Steve Harvey, Tom Joyner,
right,
Michael Dazedon, Ricky Smiley, they wiped out a lot of gigs for the local DJs. And so radio used to be very localized. Now it's not so much so.
Right.
So there are a lot of differences.
Is it more so like gear for where the money will go, or what will make the most money?
You know, I understand. People make, the owners of broadcast stations make huge investments to buy these stations, and they're not inexpensive. It's not like, you know, you go to the supermarket and buy a carton of eggs or milk. It is a very expensive, even in smaller markets, to get a radio license and to purchase a radio station. And the other thing, Stephen, that I wanted to mention was there were hardly any women in the game when I started. Now you can have 2-3 women back-to-back.
Exactly,
and nobody thinks anything of it. But when I first started in radio, it was an uncommon thing to have 2 women at a radio station. In some cases, even 1. It was a very male-dominated business when I first started. So there are several of the differences, and I could go on.
I'm sure you could.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand you're in the Guinness Book of World Records.
This past week, Wednesday, thank you for asking. I just got chill bumps because, myself and a group of local activists in Philadelphia, community leaders and organizers, came up with the idea to do the world's largest Soul Train line in Philadelphia at the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum, where Rocky ran up the steps. We did the event there February 13, 2012, to commemorate the legacy, the life work of Don Cornelius and Soul Train. And so that's what that was. Where the idea was birthed from his passing. And yes, we just got the letter, the certification and the official notice maybe a week before Christmas. So it was a great Christmas gift.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. And Wednesday we went to City Hall, and I personally handed the certificate to Mayor Michael Nutter and the City of Philadelphia, because the mayor was extremely supportive. He waived permits and came. You know, we invited him to come, and I pushed him down the line. He was the first person down the line, and we had a very successful, peaceful event that showed that we are indeed the city of brotherly love, and as I have added, sisterly affection. We had Caucasian, Latino, Asian.
Mm.
We had, of course, African-American. We had young. We had grown, seasoned adults. We had people in wheelchairs go down the Soul Train line. So it was the microcosm of the social, economic, religious, political, everybody came out that day, had a good time for a worthy remembrance of a great American icon and iconic show that has been seen all over the world, Soul Train. So, yes,
I now have a beautiful, I have a Guinness certificate hanging on my wall. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So it wasn't good enough that you conquered radio, you conquered television, but then you decided you had to become of Influence Entertainment. Tell us about that.
Ooh, Influence Entertainment is a company I established almost 20 years ago, and through Influence, I am a celebrity strategist.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken all of the cumulative experiences I had in broadcasting, radio and television, and print journalism, because I write a monthly column called Insights and Empowerment for the Frequency magazine. And so I've taken all of those experiences. I talked to publicists, DJs, other journalists, and asked, what makes for a great interview? What makes for a star? And
right.
So taking all of that information, I went back to college, because I was a college dropout. For the longest time, I went back to Temple University, received my degree, graduated cum laude, and then established this company to coach artists and celebrities. And so my first client was Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, Perspective Records, and I worked with a group called Solo. And then I worked with Angie Stone. My third client was D'Angelo, who remains to this day my very best person. And then my phone never stopped ringing, so I've worked with everyone from Justin Bieber to Rihanna to members of the Dave Matthews Band to the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. I worked with Chris Brown, too. I worked with the Eagles quarterback, Michael Vick. I work with T.I. I do a lot of crisis management with many of my clients. But I've also done Oscar-nominated director Lee Daniels, who is also a good friend. So my clientele is very diverse. I've done rock groups, Neon Trees, Parachute.
Ooh.
So Rocky ASAP, one of my newer clients.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Rocky ASAP, Al Varner, Estelle, who I love, love, love.
Yeah.
So I've had over the last two decades, I've had the blessing of working with some super dynamic, talented people, and I'm still doing it.
So after, 40 years, progressing. What are some of the highlights of your career?
Well, you've gone through them, Stephen. I mean, you've mentioned the Guinness was my thrill last week. That was a big thrill. Because that was I give back to the community. I believe in community activism. I mean, you have to super serve the community that you broadcast to. So I'm very active in the community. Also winning an NAACP Image Award, that was significant. I am a commentator on a TV1 show called Unsung.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done 17 episodes and had the honor of co-exec producing with Mark Rowland the episode on Teddy Pendergrass, for which we won an NAACP Image Award for that season. And my show was the kickoff of that particular season. So that was a high point. And, I'm talking about professional things, but being a mother has been a fulfilling experience. I have three children with Kenny Gamble, who I mentioned earlier as my dear friend, and to the second, I absolutely adore him. We've worked together on many projects, and in fact, noted producer-director Nelson George and I are in the process of putting the final touches, prayerfully, in the next few months of our documentary on Kenny Gamble, Leon Huff, and Tom Bell. And for people who are not familiar with their names, that's what the documentary will do is inform them. These men wrote For the Love of Money, for the OJs, Darling, Darling Baby, Me and Mrs. Jones, for Billy Paul, If You Don't Know Me By Now, for Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. They have 175 gold and platinum records to their credit.
And
we are doing a documentary. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Dance Hall of Fame, the Songwriters Hall of Fame. They are American institutions. And we're talking about young men who grew up in the hood, in Philadelphia and Camden, New Jersey, no MBAs, no Wharton Business School, but grew a multi-million dollar business and gave us music that will live on past them. That's my next project that I'm currently working on. So those are some of the highlights. Being, finding balance, working and pursuing professionally the things that I had dreamed of doing, in addition to having a family life and being loved and loving back. What more? Those are the highlights. I have great parents. My father passed last year, but I have incredible parents. Thank you. My father lives on. But my mother, who is a retired college professor, and my daddy instilled in me the belief, Stephen, that anything that your mind can conceive and believe, you can achieve it. I am a living testament to that. And
wow.
I thank my parents for that. So, you know, I've got great friends. I have blessings on top of blessings. Every single second of my life I view as a gift from God. And the fulfillment has been just in living this experience and exploring it. So it's been a lot of highlights.
Well, you know what you represent for me, and I always say that what I want for my life is to have a full life that I'm able to accomplish dreams and able to you know, give back and be able to just have that full life. So let me ask you, because it seems from, you know, just the research I've done and obviously the conversation that you have, you're having this full life, you're still having this full life. What advice would you give anyone up and coming that wants to do this to be successful and to be able to have longevity in this business?
Well, integrity is very important. I'm big on mm-hmm. integrity. Am I a perfect person? Hardly, but I've worked hard my entire life
right.
to be just, fair, balanced, as righteous as possibly as possible. And do your homework. Get a mentor. That's the biggest advice that I give to young
yeah.
people who ask me all the time, how do I break in? How do I do? How do I do what you do? Well, first of all, my career is very eclectic, so I don't do just one thing, as we've just
right.
noted in this conversation. I do radio, television, print journalism, community
mm-hmm.
activism, coaching, you know, celebrity strategizing. And I say get a mentor, somebody who is doing what you want to do.
Right.
And then take all the classes, get all the knowledge and information that you need to do whatever it is you want to do. If you want to be on camera, then be your best on-camera person you can be. Learn
right.
everything, all the nuances, the ins and outs. Do internships so you can get the exposure and the experience. It translates into resident
yeah.
experience.
Absolutely.
But more importantly, when they say, can you do this, that, the other? And you're like, yes, I can. Be prepared and ever ready. Be passionate about what it is that you want to do in a positive way. Be progressive and productive in your activities. Be mindful of your public persona as well. When I post something on Facebook, I know it's going out to the world.
Right.
If I don't like
exactly.
it, delete it. But once you put it on that Facebook or that Twitter or
it's
in
there.
Any social media, it is there and
yeah.
it reflects on your character. So if you were out getting drunk last night and having a madcap night, you know, do you necessarily want to put that where potential
right.
employers
right.
or people that are looking at you for a high visible situation or any situation, you
mm-hmm.
need to be mindful. I'm not saying don't have a good time, because trust me, I have a good time. But I don't put my good time, all
exactly.
my good time on the internet
exactly.
for everyone to see. So be skilled, have the education, have the experience necessary, and as I said, volunteer, intern, to get the exposure and the experience that you need in your particular area of interest. So those are the main things, Stephen, that I would say to people. And make it happen.
Make
like I told you, anything the mind can conceive and believe, you can achieve. I believe it.
Yeah.
I just firmly hold on to that. I mean, look, you're doing your thing. You're disseminating information to millions of people on the regular, and you're giving them a variety of information. You're bringing people. I was just listening to your Jeff Bradshaw interview recently,
oh, yeah.
who, by the way, I had on my show yesterday.
Oh,
I did
okay.
a live broadcast,
yeah.
and Jeff was my guest,
okay,
and we were
yeah.
sharing the good news about his NAACP nomination,
yeah.
and he's just a great musician.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, life is the living and making it happen.
Right.
And
well,
then figuring how you can connect the dots, too.
Exactly, exactly. What I've always believed, too, is that when you work hard towards something, and you're doing it in a positive way, you don't know what other doors can open. So, like, you started off in radio, but so many doors open because you worked hard to get to the next level, and it just brought in other opportunities, wonderful opportunities, you know what I mean? And I've learned that just in the little that I've done. You know what I'm saying? I can't
mm-hmm.
even compare it to you. Let me ask you, American Express Departures Magazine named you Ambassador of African American mm-hmm. Music. What do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, what a sweet, you're so sweet. That was really nice. They did a big feature story, and when I saw that, I was like, I'll own that, because it's true. I literally
yeah.
have traveled to Africa, to Asia, through the Caribbean, all through the United States, mm-hmm. promoting black music. It is my passion.
Right.
I love artists. I love creative people. I love this cultural contribution. And so when I got that honor, that naming, I embraced it. You know, it's not a bad thing to say, ooh, yeah, that's who I am. Ooh, that's what I do.
Back, yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. yeah, somebody else said it. I acknowledged and embraced it. That is not egotism. That is not. That is acknowledgement of what and who you are.
Right. Yeah.
And so I gratefully accepted that title, and I believe that throughout the course of my career on the radio, television, and print journalism in the community, I have been that, an ambassador for African American, for American music and culture.
Absolutely.
And so I embrace it. I celebrate it. I do.
Absolutely. Well, listen,
nice
I want to thank you so much for being our first guest of the new year. You have. I was excited whenever I read more, because, you know, initially I was like, okay, I've heard the name. I saw your picture. I said, oh, I've seen her everywhere. And then when I did my research, I said, wow,
yes,
she has done a lot. So I'm so glad that you were our first guest, and I wish you nothing but the best going into the new year. Continued success to you, and thank you so much for being on.
All the best to you, and people can reach me if they want to communicate, because I do my best to respond at influenceentertainment.com, two E's back to back, or rnbphilly.com. I'm on the air 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Soulful Sunday on WRNB. Thank you, Stephen. Thanks to your staff.
Thank you.
Happy.
Thank you.
Good New Year and beyond.
Same to you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And there'll be a link on our Facebook page if you want to learn more. You
Excellent.
Definitely want to know your history.
Continue success, Stephen.
Thank you so much.
All right, dear Keith.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with Stephen's playlist.
Attention, attention, all independent artists. Allow EOTM to use their expertise and create the buzz you deserve. Email them today for a free marketing analysis, marketing@queensofinternetradio.com, or call 678-548-9466. That's marketing@queensofinternetradio.com, or call 678-548-9466. Internet, nah.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Ms. Parker, before we go on to Stephen's playlist, there are some key things we have to talk about in entertainment. What are some of the highlights for you that have happened over the last couple weeks?
Key things. Why don't you go ahead and mention some things?
Well,
I don't know what's key and what's not key.
Well, I'm thinking about Kanye and Kim Kardashian. They have now
separated. Oh, yeah. Congratulations to them both. You know, I'm a Kim fan. I don't buy into the negativity, and I think everybody deserves love and deserves to be loved. So if that's where she found it and that's where he found it, congrats.
Absolutely. And today is Blue Ivory's first birthday. That's
Yes, it is. And her name was voted the worst name of 2012.
I heard that.
I think Ivy Blue would have been more appropriate, but, you know,
right,
that's their child and their decision, so.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk further about entertainment next week. I want to get into Stephen's playlist because we have some great music to play. Let's see here what we got. Stephen's playlist, as you know, we receive music all over the country. We want to be featured. If you have music that you want to play on our playlist, please email us at thestephennightshow@gmail.com, attach one or two songs, your bio, and one or two promotional pictures. And yes, we are going through them, we're playing them, but they must be edited for radio, meaning no cursing. We definitely look forward to hearing from you. Now, the first song is by Rihanna featuring Chris Brown off her latest album. I actually like this song a lot. You know, there's always some controversy, but it's called Nobody's
right.
Business, so mind your business. And listen, enjoy Stephen's playlist.
Enjoy, everyone.
Enjoy.
You'll always be mine. Sing it to the world. Always be my boy. I'll always be your girl. Nobody business. Ain't nobody business.
no other love just like this. A life with you, I wonder can we become love persona?
Quick technical difficulty while we get the next song for you, but it's coming. Give us a quick minute. Here we go. Check it out. Climax, Usher.
Go away. much I'm dedicated to you. Wanna show you how much I will forever be true. Wanna show you how much you got your girl feeling good. Wanna show you how much you understood. Wanna show you how much I value what you say. Not only are you loyal, you're patient with me, babe. Wanna show you how much I really care about your heart. Never say how it used to be.
Swirling on my bed, swirling, swirling on your bed. I wanna Everything I've been through made me who I am. Take the bad with the good, so I give it all I can. You gotta understand, wouldn't have did it different, I follow the plan. To clean up out the hard times, God good all time. I ain't finna preach, bro, I'ma talk about mine. Yes, counting every blessing now. Appreciate the lesson now. Wow, when I tell you I was down bad. No exaggeration, buddy, been to hell and back. At the same time, when you wanna sit, don't tarnish, got the same time. In and out of hospitals, arguing with doctors. They don't understand us, tell us we complain. So we keep a smile on, knowing we can change it. Gotta make a difference, educate the ignorant. Parents losing jobs and they take away our benefits. That's no winner, knowing what we dealing with. C-A-I-Z, tell them what we living with. Tell them it ain't easy, gotta stay strong. Y'all day by day, though we in it for the long haul. And I feel like we gon' die. But right now, it feel like we gon' die. All you gotta do is change. It ain't hard as it seems. You just slipping up your dream. You ain't gotta stay the same. All you gotta do is change. It ain't hard as it seems. You just slipping up your dream.
Everything you thought you love you forever. I promise I'll always be true. Can't nobody do it like you. I love you forever. Girl, I love you forever.
What's up? Welcome back. That was Steve's playlist. Listen, I know a lot of y'all picked out over the holidays. Y'all got it in. You ate all the food you know you weren't supposed to eat. Next week, we're going to be talking about ways we can get our bodies right for the new year. Ms. Parker, I told you she has her Get Fine for the Summer campaign she's doing now. Be ready. We're going to have Vic McGarry and Team Polk. They'll be on with us next week to help us get our bodies right. But until then, y'all, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank Deanna Williams for coming in and just spreading the knowledge that we all need. You all can achieve whatever you want to achieve, so make sure that you keep the dreams going. This is a new year. This is the time to make things happen. You know what I mean? Don't take no for an answer. Make moves. Make moves. But until next week, y'all, God bless and have a good week.
I love the way you call my name.